on Friday's Page One, out after 3 months. Kathleen Black stepped down as schools chancellor here in New York. The clock seems to be ticking toward a government shutdown. We'll look at how much it would rattle the economy. And economic border wars in the Midwest. But is it worth it for one state to steal jobs from next door? I'm James Baer, and all the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says New York schools chancellor Kathleen Black resigned after only 95 days on the job. She stepped down after Mayor Michael Bloomberg told her it wasn't working out. She didn't expect that. But in the last several weeks, she'd lost the support of top lieutenants at the City Department of Education. Many of them had complained directly to the mayor. City Hall aides also said she'd become a drag on Bloomberg's popularity, which was damaged by the poor response to the December blizzard that paralyzed the city. The mayor is replacing her with Dennis Walcott, a deputy mayor who was once a schoolteacher. Brooklyn community education official James DeVore says it was Walcott who was really running the show while Ms. Black was chancellor. DeVore says the question is whether Walcott is independent enough to run the schools by himself. Congressional leaders and the White House were caught up in budget brinkmanship. Times reporter Jennifer Steinhauer tells us when and how things began unraveling.
It began in the morning with Majority Leader Harry Reid on the floor of the Senate announcing that the deal that Democrats and Republicans seemed to be forming had blown up not so much over numbers, but rather over controversial policy riders that Republicans are insisting be in a bill to fund the government through the rest of the year.
It's not realistic to shut down the government on a debate dealing with abortion. It's not realistic.
And shortly after that, by midday, there was a raucous floor fight in the House over yet another short-term spending provision to fund the government for 1 week, which would have $12 billion in cuts and fund the military through the rest of the year in the event of a government shutdown. And so it seems what's happened is this fight between Democrats and Republicans has shifted away from an argument about money and federal spending and more into ideology and the role of government in American life.
Times reporter Jennifer Steinhauer. House Speaker John Boehner and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid met with President Obama twice. Federal agencies and congressional offices began telling workers who should come to work and who should stay home. On Capitol Hill, staff members who are not considered essential were told they could face sanctions if there's a shutdown and they did any work. Times reporter Motoko Rich looks at whether a government shutdown would rattle the economy. She says it's not just government workers who'd feel the pinch. Wall Street traders depend on a steady flow of government data, and bank loan officers are wondering if the Federal Housing Administration will continue to guarantee mortgages. Friday's Page One looks at economic border wars in the Midwest. Kansas and Missouri have been offering incentives for companies that relocate. The conventional wisdom is that adds jobs and tax revenue to the state that promises the most. But now some officials are wondering about the point of it all. They say incentives only help private companies at taxpayer expense. At Cairo University in Egypt, there have been fistfights in classrooms and protest banners hanging from campus buildings. The issue is a dean who's considered a throwback to when President Hosni Mubarak was in power. The dean is not the only one who's feeling the heat. In government ministries and factories, protests have focused on officials who are considered Mubarak surrogates. Demonstrators complain the secret police cleared everyone who got an important job under Mubarak. They say the country deserves a clean slate. Retailers are discovering that when they crowd stores with merchandise, shoppers may hate it, but sales go up. So, after trying for a cleaner look during the recession, retailers are redesigning stores to make room for what you might call clutter. Dollar General is raising its shelves to more than 6 feet. JCPenney is hanging jewelry and other accessories on the walls. Best Buy is wheeling in things like Segways and bicycles. They'll fill the space opened up by thinner and thinner TVs. Inside Friday's Times, the battle over redistricting is underway across the country. Congressman Brian Higgins has hired a high-powered lobbyist to try to keep state lawmakers from wiping out his district. Higgins is a Democrat from upstate New York. He's not the only one who's trying to influence how officials in state capitals redraw their political maps. 18 states are either adding or losing congressional seats. Texas is the big winner with 4 additional seats. New York and Ohio are each losing 2. Leaders in Portugal are setting aside their differences to negotiate terms of a bailout. Friday's Business Day section says the situation in Portugal is putting pressure on other troubled economies, in particular Spain's. Spain has already tried austerity measures and a pension overhaul. It's even cleaned up its banking sector in hopes of staying out of danger. The Walt Disney Company is placing a huge bet that China is moving toward westernized entertainment. Disney broke ground for a $4.4 billion theme park in Shanghai. Disney is hoping the park will drive demand for other things Disney makes, like films and toys. Friday's Business Day section also says investors are sifting through the inventory of empty houses in Florida. They're hoping to spruce up the properties cheaply and sell them at a profit. The research firm Metro Study says the median house price in Florida has dropped 53% in the last 5 years. He's surrounded and outnumbered, but Ivory Coast strongman Laurent Gbagbo continues to hold on. Gbagbo is doing what he knows best, which is playing for time and putting his opponents in a bind. The longer he stays in the presidential palace, the more he makes the country less governable. That means more trouble for his rival, Alassane Ouattara, who beat Gbagbo in last year's presidential election. That's our preview of Friday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.